You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT hire, for all your temporary fencing, portable toilet and crowd barrier hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
Good morning and welcome everyone to The First Serve. We're live from Pat Rafter Arena again this morning for the final day of the Brisbane International, the men's final featuring tonight between Roger Federer and Milos Raonic. But is everyone, once again in the men's game, simply playing for second in 2016? Well, according to Rafael Nadal overnight, Novak Djokovic played the perfect game to dismantle the Spaniard in their 47th meeting at the Qatar Open to send an ominous warning to all and sundry that he is out in front by a very, very long way. A big day coming up here in Brisbane. We've got a big show coming up over the next hour. We're going to obviously focus on what has happened here during the week and on the tour for the first week right around the country and the globe. We'll also check in Sydney and Hobart, which get underway today. Our special guest will include Alison Lee, who is the Executive Vice President of the ATP International Group. We'll also get the latest news out of Kooyong. If you're thinking of snapping up some tickets at the last minute to the Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic, SEM will be live there on Friday with the call with Anthony Hudson. Well, Charlotte James has some breaking news just before midday today. Another little treat for those who might want to snap up some tickets. My co-host is back at SEM, Paul Aitken. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, BP. And what a week in tennis. So much is going on, mate. Just a feast of tennis. Tour events, challenges, Hopman Cup. It's just tennis all around the globe.
Quite amazing, Paul. Look, I've got to say, it's been a great week here in Brisbane. In a moment, I'm going to play just some of the chats that we've had with some of the players and the officials in a great position here. This is a fabulous tournament. You've got to get up here, my friend, and soak in a bit of Brisbane.
Look, I've really enjoyed some of your interviews, mate, just getting a real insight into some of the personalities. Who's out there hitting at the moment?
Well, I can tell you, the fortunate part tonight is that we've got three Aussies in the doubles final, and the pairing of Chris Guccione and James Duckworth are just having a hit in front of me here, and yeah, they're obviously a big chance tonight. John Peers with his new partner are also in the doubles final, so yeah. No Australian singles success, but we might have a bit of doubles success.
Yeah, watched a bit of Peers and Considine yesterday. It would seem a little bit of thought has gone into the chemistry of that combination.
Well, chemistry is an interesting word that you use, Paul, because I watched Martina Hingis here last night and Sonia Mirza win their 10th title as a pair. They won 9 last year. They've started off in perfect fashion. And there was a tweet, in fact, from Todd Woodbridge last night. You can relate to this. The art of doubles is in choosing the right partner. I know this from experience. Hashword, teamwork.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. I mean, knowing when to cross, knowing that you can just get on well together on the court, there is a lot to it tactically, technically, it's all there.
It certainly is. So Hingis and Mirza here last night, very successful. Of course, a win for Victoria Azarenka, breaking a 2.5-year title drought. And she looks to be in a really good space, Victoria. Dismantled Angelique Kerber, who just can't get nearer at the moment. 6-0, I think, Azarenka is in that head-to-head. And, well, look, she's certainly a smoky for the Australian Open when you look at how open the women are, apart from Serena, and we're just not quite 100% sure, are we, just what sort of fitness level Serena's going to bring into the Australian Open.
Well, that's right, but I mean, in terms of Azarenka last night, she was just awesome, and of course, you know, I've been a big fan of hers. She's a big threat over the summer, I think, and has a stellar record here in Australia. We'll jump to 16 or 17 in the world after this tournament.
Indeed. Yeah, she was great. 6-3, 6-1.
Just her depth was outstanding, mate, wasn't it? And just so confident. What a backhand.
Yeah, great backhand last night. In fact, I spoke to Angelique Kerber here during the week, and she's sort of been thereabouts at number 10, trying to make some inroads and trying to add a little bit more on that serve, be a bit heavier off the ground. She gets right down in that sort of crouched position when she hits that forehand. There was a little bit more bite on the serve this week, but you know, for her to match it with the likes of Williams and Halep and Sharapova and now Muguruza coming through, she's going to have to certainly step up, I think, the offensive part of her game.
Yeah, look, I like Kerber. She's very dependable and technically great from the back of the court, very aerobically fit, and really has a calm physiology on the court as well. But I guess you talk about her serve, and that is a work area. She looks to slice that a lot and doesn't really pronate and hit over the top of it like some of the the other girls.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into talking about Australia's great success to win the Hopman Cup for the first time in 17 years last night, let's just take a little look back at just some of the chats we've had and some of the players we've caught up with and the big names here in Brisbane this week.
Getting to that stage where I feel so confident on court and stuff, but there's obviously higher players now there, Novak, Federer, that are, you know, there for a reason. So I think I've a long process to go to get to that stage, but every day if I keep improving, there's a chance of becoming like where they are now.
Yeah, I mean, like a couple of years ago I would be in Australia, or 3 years ago I still play Legends events, so coming here now and be on the real tour and you know, have a shot at winning titles, definitely something that I had hopes for. But when it really becomes reality, it's like, that's how Sanya said, that's what dreams are made of.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane what was before, and the girls winning Grand Slams with 16, I think it will never happen again, this. And yeah, I'm just really happy I made the transition from the juniors to the pros real quick, and I could become a constant player on the WTA Tour. And
well, no, just I would like to enjoy my last year, just play, try my best in every single day and tournament. I know it's not easy, but nothing special, no pressure about the rankings. Of course, I would try. I would like to improve every single things about my game.
Towards the end of last year, I lost quite a few close matches. I think once against Nadal, and I think against Ferrer in Paris. So I think those matches were in a way, were good losses for me. And I just said to myself, well, coming up to that new year, just, you know, do the best you can, and whoever you play, just come out there and focus on your game. And that's what I tried today, just to focus on my game, on, you know, on the serve returns, a couple of things that I've worked on. And I mean, it's we go one match at a time now.
Well, I think I was very lucky that I sort of started pretty late. I was I started professionally when I was 19 years old, so I had a time to go to school, yes, and all my friends are not from the tennis world, and they have so many different interests and different jobs, and I've always been very curious. I think as a child already, I've always wanted to know stuff.
When you think about it, you know, ever since I was a kid, I dreamed about becoming a professional tennis player, and that was like, I think for all of us, it was like the biggest dream. And then just now living that dream and playing those big tournaments and winning the matches, that has to be the best feeling.
I will try to get to the next level with the better serve, and also moving better than I do it, and being more aggressive. And that's what I was also working in my off season.
I got to about 108 this year. Yeah. Kind of really picked up for me after, I guess, up in Wimbledon, actually. I played really well there qualifying, then making semi-finals in Newport. You know, losing a heartbreak at Wimbledon, 2 sets to love up, that was really tough to come back from. But, you know, kind of backed it up in Vancouver.
For Roger, he actually has a good game to match up with Novak. I mean, he beat him 3 out of 8 times, considering that last year, considering Novak rarely loses at all, that's not bad. But you're right. The question is, how do you do it over 3 out of 5 sets? The margins, it's cliche, but the margins are so narrow. Roger has to play the right style of game, and he has to play it over 3 out of 5 sets, and in particular do it at the big points.
Volumes for the fans that come flock to the Queensland Tennis Centre to watch the Brisbane International, and also the relaxed nature of our team here in Brisbane, and also Brisbane as a venue. They're looking for something in the first week to get into this first week of the season. They've got the Australian Open in a couple of weeks' time, and they're looking for something that they know is going to be a good preparation.
Yeah, some of the chats we've been able to have here in Brisbane this week. Bernard Tomic, Martina Hingis, what a thrill that was. Belinda Bencic, a rising star. Roberta Vinci, Grigor Dimitrov, who played some really good tennis here this week. First time he took a set off Roger Federer. Andrija Petković, one of the most fascinating people on the tour to talk to. Viktor Troicki, Angelique Kerber, JP Smith, Paul Anacone, I must say. And I'm doing World Feed with him tonight to call the final. The former coach, Paul, of Pete Sampras and Roger Federer. Gee, I count myself lucky, to be honest, to have spent the last 3 days.
Absolutely.
With Paul. His knowledge, He's just his intellect in the sport of tennis. He's consulting to Pat Rafter at Tennis Australia. Absolute privilege. And Cam Pearson there at the end, who's put on a great tournament here as the tournament director. So very lucky to have caught up with a lot of the people here in Brisbane.
Yes, certainly Paul Anacone is a world-renowned expert in the game. But I had to laugh, mate. You played that grab with Hingis, saying that she made a quick transition from juniors to senior. I think she made that transition when she was 12, mate.
Yes. We'll probably never see it again, will we?
No. I mean, you just have to be physically strong nowadays to make that transition. But I'll tell you what I have learnt this week, and that is that Kyrgios and Tomic have confirmed to me that they are going to be in the top 10 at some point very soon.
It's a fascinating discussion, Paul, and I do want to spend a couple of minutes on this, because being in the company of Paul Anacone, as I said, who is consulting to Tennis Australia, who's coached two of the best, arguably the best, no doubt, of all time in Sampras and Federer, this man is very interesting to listen to. And look, the thing with Kyrgios and Tomic, and I think you and I would agree, and everyone who follows tennis, yes, these two could be anything, depending if they want to put in the work. And if you don't put in the work in this game of tennis, you'll just get spat at very, very quickly and not reach your full potential. So talent-wise, if I'm just looking at Bernie, who I've seen close up this week, we all know he's got good IQ out on court. He plays a different style of game. He always has. How far that game style can take him is going to be really interesting. But I won't say who said it to me off-air, but they were practicing next to Bernard Tomic here in Brisbane this week, and they said, geez, we put an hour out on the court in the hot sun of Brisbane. Here's Bernard Tomic practicing for about 20 minutes before he goes out on court, and he's got more talent on his little finger than anyone else. But it's whether he's going to put in that work in a sustained period across 12 months of the year is still the question that has to be answered.
Well, regardless of that, I suppose one big positive for him is he's not injured at the moment. And I guess I think he really has. You can see over the last year he's developed some confidence and I think some self-esteem, because everyone in his camp can tell Bernie, look, mate, you're world-class, you're good enough to take the next step. But until he starts taking those micro small steps and starts achieving some small milestones,
yep,
he's not going to feel worthy of that praise, so which I think everyone in the past has just constantly delivered him. And now I think now he is really making some steps.
He is. I mean, have you got Tomic ahead of Kyrgios or Kyrgios ahead of Tomic? Where do you
That's
sort of have
very
them
good question.
Jockeying alongside each other?
Well, I think you'd have to say that Kyrgios's best is better than Tomic's.
You think so? Okay.
I think it is, because he's just got that amazing first strike ability. That third shot, that serve and third shot,
yep,
is just awesome. And he just relies so much on putting people on the back foot. Whereas Tomic's a little smarter, likes to build a little bit more, likes to wrong foot his opponent, challenge their balance. And I think perhaps yesterday Tomic was found out a little bit in the speed department. It was a fantastic match, and that's been very, very critical. But when he was forced to defend, that's his weakness.
Well, I think the thing, and you would have seen this, Paul, the thing that he can rely on, Bernard Tomic, is his serve. He's got a very good high first serve percentage. The go-to serve down the tee, so hard to read with that quick service action, very hard for the returner to pick that up. He's got the slider that can go out wide. But this is the question, isn't it? I mean, he'll know that to match the big guys from an offensive point of view, he's going to have to hit with a lot more power and force and end the points a little bit quicker. So it's going to be fascinating to see how he goes about it, because technically, he's not going to have a coach with him travelling on the road, from what I understand. John Tomic is not going to travel with him, and he hasn't decided to actually go with an official coach travelling with him.
Well, yeah, I think there always will be someone around the camp that can give him some tactical guidance, at least you'd hope so. But in terms of his serve, look, that was always going to be good. The guy's 6'5".
Yep.
If that was not a good serve, someone along the way had technically stuffed up.
Well said. Yep. No, well said indeed. Fascinating. Look, two guys that have started the summer really well. Can they kick on and have a big Australian Open campaign? We're going to find out. We'll squeeze into break. We're going to focus on Nick Kyrgios and Daria Gavrilova. What a week they have had. The first time Australia's won the Hopman Cup. Great crowds. Perth Arena. Big tick over there. I even feel they deserve maybe an ATP or a WTA event, the turnout there, because it's technically an exhibition event, but they play like it's life and death. More coming up. Our look at the Hopman Cup next here on The First Serve.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing, portable toilet and crowd barrier hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
Well, first I was here yesterday night. I was shouting out Victoria's name probably every single point. And then when I went over there to get my ball sign, she gave me her headband that I have in my head now. And then online, she noticed me, and online she was giving my mum a text saying about it, and then she got us tickets to here, and then we came BFS.
And then she came and brought you onto the court. How good was that?
Awesome.
What did she say to you?
She was saying, do you want to come? Do you want to hold my trophy? Everything.
Is that just a great moment?
Yeah.
Something you'll remember forever?
Yes.
Amazing. Don't worry about the big names here in Brisbane during the week. That young girl, Stephanie Taylor, stole the show here in Brisbane last night. I had to duck out and have a chat to her, Paul.
Bless
she
her heart.
Got invited to join her idol, Victoria Azarenka, on court.
What a
followed
thrill.
Her to the presentation area, lifted the trophy up, and I'll tell you what, every media person was trying to interview her last night. She's taking calls. She loved it. She was in the spotlight. Great little story here at the Brisbane International Hopman Cup. Gee, what a week. Some great tennis, and Kyrgios and Gavrilova. I mean, just to get to the final, the dramatic mixed doubles tie against France
that
on Friday night. Great week over there. It's a magnificent arena, and to see that with 12,000, it almost felt like a Grand Slam event.
Sure did, and we've got to give a plug to Bodge. She did some great work over there. Fantastic commentary.
Yeah, she certainly did. So your thoughts, Paul, on the win for Australia?
Yeah, look, I think it was fantastic, and it seems to get more and more atmosphere as the years go on, doesn't it? And the mixed doubles, as you alluded to on Friday night, was just gripping. Match points going either way. I think what was interesting about it is that Kyrgios seems to thrive in this atmosphere of exhibition-style fun, entertainment event.
Yeah, look, he does. So, and his tennis is there for everyone to see. So I think, as someone said to me, if he can just keep it all together, sky's the limit for Nick Kyrgios.
And watching him and Dolgopolov is extraordinary. Two amazing shot makers, and they're what I call go players in that they like to end the point within 3 to 5 shots.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, look, he was outstanding, Nick Kyrgios, last night against Dolgopolov, 6-3, 6-4. Daria Gavrilova, well, we've seen this. We've been talking about Dash, 233-36 in the world in the last 12 months. She's an Australian citizen. She really thrived, I think, knowing she's now a full Australian citizen, that here she is in front of her home crowd. It almost felt like she sort of felt that bit of acceptance, Paul, that, hey, I'm an Aussie and I'm here and I'm here to stay.
Yeah, well, that's right. And that must be an amazing feeling for her. I think we can start to think that this is a real event, not just an exhibition, because that team really brings about a bond, I think, and that's the difference between this and an exhibition event.
Well, it's been sustained, hasn't it? It's been going over 20 years, the Hopman Cup. It's an institution almost in this country. 6-4, 7-6, as we mentioned. Qatar Open final overnight. Novak Djokovic, his 60th title, dismantling Rafael Nadal. 23 apiece heading into their 47th meeting.
It was a mugging.
6-1, 6-2. Nadal said, I played against a player who did everything perfect. I don't know anybody who played tennis like this ever, which is a big statement considering he's gone up against Roger Federer at his prime.
Well, to put it in context, he had 75% of first serves in, and he won 80% of those when they went in, which that really means he's getting first strike more often. He's getting to use his patterns more.
Yeah, he certainly is. He is just head and shoulders above everyone else at the moment. And, you know, chatting to Paul Anacone off air here in the motives for Roger Federer going forward to try and win one more title. It's trying to get past the brick wall that is Novak Djokovic. It is the toughest assignment right now. The guy is at the peak of his powers. Magnificent defensive game. You know, just so consistent. Doesn't miss. Athletically just blessed at the
for
top
sure.
of his game in that area. So it's a really tough one to crack. ATP Chennai Open semi-finals overnight. Stan Wawrinka gets through, and he will take on Borna Coric, winning through his semi-final in three tight sets. So the loss for Benoit Paire means that Bernard Tomic secures that 16th seeding for the Australian Open,
well,
which is
the
good news. WTA Shenzhen Open, Agnieszka Radwanska, what a period she's had since the US Open. She's won 22 of 26 matches, her 18th title overnight, defeating Alison Risk over there. She'll now head to Sydney. Sloane Stephens taking out the WTA ASB Classic final there in Auckland, defeated Julia Gerges 7-5, 6-2, defeated Wozniacki on the same day with the rain over there, so had to play the semi and the final on the same day, which is a good little segue into our guest who joins us live from Hobart. He will be doing the court announcing. I'll catch up with him tomorrow when I jet down there. Michael Maney for the Hobart International, which starts today. Michael, as we welcome you, Sloane Stephens was supposed to be the top seed, but after that win yesterday, she has pulled out of Hobart.
Yeah, how are you, Brett? Yeah, I suppose just disappointing for tournament officials here in Hobart that Sloane has had to pull out of the tournament. I guess we all move on. Mona Bartel now takes a seeding. She was unseeded, so she's a ninth seed in this competition, but disappointment. But there's still plenty of hype around the around this tournament. We've got, at the moment, Margarita Gasparian is down against Madison Inglis 3-1. And Madison is on serve right now, so that's a bit of a surprise. But, yeah, disappointment, but there's still plenty of outstanding players down here, and you get to see some of those in the next week or so, Brett.
No doubt. Sybil Kova in the draw. Eugenie Bouchard looking to relaunch her career, of course. Madison Inglis, that is a good start for her. I mean, we saw her win the wildcard, Michael, a couple of weeks ago at Melbourne Park. So it's a great event, isn't it? A lot of the girls love to really fine-tune their game, and we saw her with Heather Watson last year. To get a title under your belt heading into the Australian Open can really give you that little jolt of confidence.
I certainly can, and just saw an interview with Mona Bartel going back a couple of days ago when she first arrived in Hobart, and just says that Hobart does give her a very good lead up into the rest of the year. She loves coming here, as do a lot of the girls, so love coming to Hobart and play. So it's, if you can get a title under your belt, and let's think of Madison Brangle, who I think was ranked somewhere in the 80s or 90s, so now pushed that up to the 40s, and she was runner-up last year. So it was a good performance by her, but some interesting players. Zarina Diaz, she's in today. Camilla Giorgi now becomes, like, I guess, the de facto top seed. She was seeded second here, so they will play a little bit later on. And as you mentioned, Vanessa Alatova, she's up against Elise Cornet in the seventh seed in the second draw on centre court. So there's plenty of outstanding players here. Looking forward to seeing, obviously, Eugenie Bouchard. She needs to, I guess, get back on the bike and start playing some tennis that we know she can play. But she'll hopefully be there when the whips are cracking. Going to have a chat to her today around about 2 o'clock. She's going to have a presser at 1:30. So it'll be interesting to see what she thinks of Hobart and what she thinks of her year coming up. But I guess plenty of sunshine, Brett. That's the main thing. Forecast is for lots of sunshine for this tournament. We had difficulty last year with a couple of days with rain, but the forecast is clear.
That is good.
Conditions beautiful.
That is great, mate, because I only brought one pair of jeans. I haven't worn them yet. I've been in shorts all week, so nice now I can keep wearing the shorts, Paul.
And Michael, Jamila Wolf has some local interest too. Who's she playing against? I see she's got qualifier. Who did she draw?
Look, I don't have that information in front of me. What's happened here at the tennis centre is a lot of the internet, etc., everything has sort of gone down. So we're struggling to try and sort of catch up with everything. I've only been in tournament director Mark Hanley's office for a short period of time. He's been racing around like crazy. They've had a system sort of blow out on them. She won in 2011, I think. Camilla Guidas over, so she's always welcome here at Hobart. But I'm not really sure who she has drawn today. But I know that she'll be there when the whistle cracks. Certainly, if she can get a good start into this tournament, we know that she can be a devastating player. Mm. So let's hope that she can go deep in this tournament.
Great stuff. It mightn't have been decided yet. Quali's continuing today. Michael, we'll catch up tomorrow. All the best. HobartInternational.com.au if you want to watch the live stream of day one today. Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Brett.
Michael Maney, who's the court announcer down there at the beautiful Domain Tennis Centre. We're going to go to Sydney because the Apia International Sydney does get underway today. Matt Trelope, freelance writer and contributor, of course, for the Australian Tennis Magazine, is on the scene there. Good morning, Matt.
Hi, Brent. How are you?
Going very nicely indeed. The main draw, of course, getting underway today. Lots of qualifying to be finished as well.
Yeah, it's a massive day here in Sydney. At the moment, I'm actually walking through huge crowds of people because it's also Kids Day on site. So there's a huge crowd and there's a really good energy about the place and really good weather. And, tons happening here today. We've got the kickoff of the women's main draw. So about five or six singles matches on Penrose Hall Arena and the grandstand court and the completion of men's and women's qualifying as well, which has thrown up quite a few big names as well. with the quality of the field there. So, yeah, it's a really good start to the tournament and kicking off well.
And the women's draw, Matt, is just incredible. With a cutoff of 37 to make the main draw, that's insanely strong.
It is incredibly strong. We actually looked the other day, and Sydney has the second highest cutoff, a ranking cutoff for the main draw of any tournament in the world, which just makes it an absolutely incredible field. And you've got these matches in the first round because of the strength of that field. You've got people like Sam Stosur and Roberta Vinci, or Anna Ivanovic and Karolina Pliskova playing off in the first round. I mean, they're the kinds of matches that could be like the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam, and you've got them in the first round. So, it kicks off at a very high level very quickly here.
No doubt. Tammy Pettersson v Svetlana Kuznetsova, the one Aussie in action today as far as the girls. We know Stosur's going to play Vinci, Gavrilova to take on a qualifier, Halep Radvanska, Kvitova, Kerber, good draw. Bernard Tomic, the top seed, will have the bye in Sydney. Jordan Thompson to take on Martin Klizem. Sam Groth against Del Bonis, and Johnny Millman flying in from Chennai to take on Rob Rader. He'll like that. He's had the number on Tommy Paul over the last year or so.
He's been his bunny, hasn't he, really? So hopefully John can get the job done there.
And I just wanted to ask you, Matt, we saw Oliver Anderson up here in Brisbane be the big surprise packet in qualifying, the 17-year-old to come through, and there was another young Australian with a massive winning qualies yesterday.
Yes, it was a very, very similar story. So it was a New South Wales boy, a 19-year-old named Alexander Vukic, and he beat Sergei Stakovsky in the first round of qualifying. So just to put that in a bit of context, Vukic is ranked 718, and Stakovsky was the highest ranked player in qualifying, and he's ranked, I think, 61 or 62. So, I mean, it's an absolute...
Amazing.
It seemed a mismatch on paper, but it was a huge win. And it was the manner in which he did it. I mean, he served for the match at 5-4 in the third set and played a fantastic game, served out of a tree, looked really composed, and the atmosphere was fantastic. He said he had all of his friends and family there, the courts were packed, and it was fantastic. He said they carried him over the line, and when he won, he celebrated, high-fived everyone in the first round.
As you would.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was an incredible performance. It was career-defining, and I'm frankly not really sure where it came from. He couldn't really say what was behind it, but he just said he played well, competed hard, believed he could win, and he's one match away from the main draw now.
Yeah, great stuff. Good story. We like those. Matt, enjoy the tennis. We'll catch up throughout the week.
Thanks very much, Brent. Thanks, guys.
Matt Trelote there, freelance writer, contributor for the Australian Tennis Magazine at the Apia International Sydney. Just one small thing there, Paul. Disappointing for Luke Saville. Knocked out first-round qualies, first-round in Noumea last week. He would have loved to have got the year off to a better start.
Yeah, things not quite going Luke's way at the moment. That's bad luck. I did see those results, but he's not alone. There's a lot of guys losing first rounds. Wasn't a great week for us in terms of in Brisbane in terms of getting one of those guys through.
Yep.
But you know, in fairness, they were, I talk of Ben Mitchell, JP Smith, James Duckworth. They were just beaten by better players at the end of the day.
Yeah, good draws. There's no doubt at this time of the year. What about Big Ernest? Big Ernest Gulbis. What a fall from grace. Now, he was 12 months ago the world number 11, and in the last 2 weeks he's been knocked out first round qualies, Brisbane and Sydney. It's amazing how it can go the other way very quickly.
Oh, it certainly can, mate. But one thing I was wanting to bring up with you is the injury debate. We've got, and I think there was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, Williams, this bone-on-bone that requires a synthetic cartilage injection, Halep carrying an Achilles, Sharapova, tendonitis in the left elbow, and our own Sam, who's just had a cortisone injection.
Well, it's the women's side of the draw. I mean, look, we've called it this week here in Brisbane, WTA carnage, to be totally honest. I think Cam Pearson's just held it together and, look, got a good final in the end as Azarenka and Kerber. But, yeah, disappointing. Sharapova, I think, for the third time, she's pulled out of Brisbane. And Halep. Look, I suppose this is the tough one for the Australian lead-up events because the players come off their off-season. We've got a Grand Slam to play in 8 days' time. They don't want to miss out on that. And I think a lot of them take that conservative view of, gee, if there is a niggle or a twinge or it's not quite right, I don't want to go ahead and play the week and maybe be in danger of missing the Australian Open. I'm sure that's what goes through their mind.
Well, I guess it just ignites this debate of whether the season is too long. I mean, are they, A, starting their pre-season too early and already injured, or are they overtraining too close to their event, not physiologically monitoring themselves closely enough and being a little bit over-exuberant in this pre-season, or they just plain unlucky?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot to probably digest there. We might need about half an hour to have a chat about that on the show. We might do that next week, maybe in the build-up to the Australian Open. But, of course, AFT Hire, great supporters of the first serve. And I've got Graham on the line. Graham, plenty happening at AFT Hire in the month of January.
Hi, Brett. Looking forward to a bumper 2016. Look, we had a really good 2015. Looking forward at rolling it on into 2016. We've just unloaded some new stock and really excited about this new stock we've got in. Brand new toilets, brand new temporary fencing, brand new crowd control barriers. Obviously, we cater for the building industry, but also looking after your private events, looking after some of your social gatherings. Realistically speaking, mate, if there's something you need, we are the people to call. We're very passionate about what we do. Obviously, to our SEN listeners out there, put in a new order in your 2016 order, and we'll give you 10% off for your initial order. Obviously, use the SEN code word, which is SEN. We'll be happy to give 10% off on the initial hire. For more information, give us a call on 1300 946 660, or visit us at afthire.com.au.
Thank you, Graham. Nice to have you on board. AFT Hire sponsoring, of course, the first serve and right throughout the tennis season as well. We'll come back. We're going to catch up with Alison Lee, the Executive Vice President of the ATP International Group, coming up next here on The First Serve.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing, portable toilet and crowd barrier hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
Well, welcome back to The First Serve at live here on Pat Rafter Arena. The final day of the Brisbane International, the final coming up tonight between Roger Federer, who's got this amazing record. The young pup still can't get near him. 41-3, his win-loss against players born in the 1990s. It is a phenomenal performance, how good he is still going. He takes on Milos Raonic. It's a repeat, of course, of last year's final, which Roger won in three very tight sets. But joining us, Paul, of course, is Alison Lee, the Executive Vice President of the ATP International Group, based out of Sydney. We know the ATP is a massive organisation globally around the world, and we really appreciate Alison giving us a few moments this morning. Alison, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
A great time of the year, Alison, with the month of January certainly immersed in tennis here in Australia.
Yes, certainly in Australia, but also worldwide. We have five ATP tournaments in the first 2 weeks of the year, and all the players are getting ready to come to Australia for Melbourne, so definitely a busy time.
Alison, just I suppose a bit about your background. You originally were a journalist and then joined the ATP. Tell us a bit about your journey to work in such an interesting organisation.
Yeah, it is an interesting organisation. I do feel fortunate that I have had this job, because it's ever-evolving. I'm always learning. I did start out as a journalist, mainly in Hong Kong, working for NBC, and came to Australia and started working for the tour shortly afterwards, with mainly with Brad Drewitt for 14 years. You probably know him as our former chairman.
Absolutely,
yes. Yeah. So he was my mentor for a very long time, worked under him, and we worked on those Masters Cup events, now called the ATP Finals. Masters Cup was in Sydney at the Superdome back in 2001, if you remember.
I remember that. Hewitt won that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, and he became the youngest year-end number one ever after he beat Pat Rafter that year. We worked through China, setting up the Masters Cup events in Shanghai, and I just ended up working across the organisation in a whole different bunch of areas. So now I am where I am.
In retrospect now, Alison, what do you think are the major changes on the ATP Tour in the last couple of years?
Last couple of years?
Or last 15 years, say, perhaps.
Last 15 years, there's been... I mean, where do you start? I mean, if you just look at the players, how they play, their equipment, the teams that they travel with, everyone travels with their coach, as well as a lot of them travel with their physios.
Yes.
Their preparation, the different types of training that they do, how they eat, what's their diet. You've seen Novak Djokovic and his gluten-free diet sparked a whole lot of other players to go gluten-free.
So it really has just become a lot more professional.
Absolutely. The stadiums, the venues, the player and fan experience at the stadiums. I mean, you know, you used to turn up to tournaments 15, 20 years ago and fans would be able to buy a sausage roll and a strawberry milk or something like that. now it's extremely high-end at a lot of these tournaments. Entertainment, that's what these events are.
Now, Alison, in Chris Kermode's address, of course, the ATP Executive Chairman, his address late last year, he mentioned the really strong position that the organisation is in. And I'm keen to ask you a bit about the back end, I suppose, of the ATP and what actually keeps it so strong.
Yeah, look, we've been fortunate over the last decade to have some of the greatest players in history playing together very regularly, and at our top events, you see them playing, you see them matched up. Fans know what to look forward to. So you have the big four, as we call them, Roger, Rafa, Novak and Andy, and then a whole bunch of other players coming through, like Milos and Kay, who are superstars in their own countries. You've probably heard about Kei Nishikori effect in Japan. Mm. I mean, he really cannot walk down the street anywhere in Japan. So you've got fabulous players. And then, as I said, you've got, on the tournament side, the tournament's pushing forward with this entertainment product. So everyone's just moving forward in how they present the product. And then you've got fabulous TV coverage as well.
Broadly speaking, Alison, what are the key objectives for the ATP in the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10 years is to keep going, forward. Prize money, we've done pretty well over the last few years to increase prize money for players. Sponsorship has been very strong. We just have to make sure our product is still a very strong one on the international sports entertainment scene. That's where we have to go.
Alison, I know one of your roles is as chair of the ATP Challenger Tour Committee. It's something that Paul and I certainly take a very keen interest in, the futures, the challenges, looking at all the young players who are evolving and have to go through this step to get onto the main tour. Roger Federer, where I am in Brisbane here last night, actually mentioned in his press conference that he'd like to see if the Challenger Tour could actually get a prize money increase. I'm keen to get your thoughts on that and where that sort of sits. And he also suggested, you know, maybe increase prize money for the sort of second and third round of the Grand Slams. But specifically, I'd love to ask you about the Challenger Tour and where you sort of rate that and whether that will increase over the next few years.
Yeah. So, look, I read Roger's comments, and he's been across everything we're doing at the Tour. And I agree with Roger's comments that the Tour should be about winners receiving most of the money, and with the second and third round players, yes, possibly more should go there. With regards to the Challenger Tour, this is always a very difficult balance because you want to make sure that you pay enough prize money to these players to make sure that they can survive, also to attract top young athletes to our sport. But you don't want to make it too comfortable. You don't want the players sitting in the secondary tier of tournaments their whole career. They need to play up, and by that I mean they need to get out of the Challenger Tour as fast as they can and get onto the HB World Tour and Grand Slam events. So, you know, in the last 8 years, we've doubled the minimum prize money level at Challenger Tour events.
Yep.
It's moving forward in great leaps and bounds what we're providing, because the appetite for these events is starting to really heat up from promoters and tennis federations around the world, so we can afford to start asking them to pay more. And you know, as the World Tour events become more and more professional, more entertainment oriented, it trickles down to the secondary tier as well. So you know, you have tournaments in Europe. Braunschweig in Germany is the best. It keeps winning every year. But there's a whole stack of these events that get 20, 30,000 people through the gates in a week to watch these secondary events.
Alison, I was just thinking some of the changes in my lifetime has been the technology, and just your website was updated last year. I mean, I can remember at home waiting for just a tennis magazine to come so I could read about the players, but now the website's just so complete, and technology really has changed the game too.
Yeah, that's right. Streaming, live scoring. I mean, what Tennis Australia have done with the 7 Tennis app, that's fantastic.
Yeah, great stuff. Really nice to talk to you, Alison, this morning. We'd probably love a little bit more time to get into a few other topics, but we know the ATP is such a big organisation. It's an amazing travelling road show. It stops in here in Australia for a little period, and of course for 10 or 11 months it is a global success, there's no doubt about it, and the WTA as well. It's a huge operation. Enjoy the summer of tennis, and really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Hope you guys enjoy the tennis too.
Alison Lee there, the Executive Vice President of the ATP International Group. We'll take our final break. We'll check in with Charlotte James next. Of course, looking after Kooyong. Some news out of there building up to one of the key lead-up events to the Australian Open.
You're listening to The First Serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. For AFT Hire, for all your temporary fencing, portable toilet and crowd barrier hire, call 1300 946 660 or log on to afthire.com.au.
We knew that, you know, the drought had been going on for a while, and, you know, we were more than capable of winning today. I thought, you know, Dasha came out and beat a quality play. You know, she's been playing great all through the week, and, you know, I thought as well, Dolgopolov had been playing some great tennis, and I knew that I had to play some pretty high level to beat him. And, you know, I thought we played some really, really good tennis today, and it obviously feels really, really good to have won.
Yeah, certainly a huge night for Nick Kyrgios and Daria Gavrilova, lifting the Hopman Cup trophy, the first Australian pair to do that in 17 years. We go back to Jelena Dokic and Mark Philippoussis, an iconic event that's been going for over 20 years. And, of course, Nick Kyrgios will be a big draw card this week at the Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic. And, well, the lady who's just working overtime at the moment, she is the architect behind this event, Charlotte James, our very own, the First Lady, busy at work. Good morning to you, CJ.
That's maybe slightly overstating it, Brett, but good, all good.
No, I like to pump you up.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Now, you've got some big news for us this morning.
Yeah, really exciting, actually. You know, Kooyong always, we generally have a little exhibition match that we'll throw in there, little kind of last minute thing, and we're very excited to announce that former champion, Kei Nishikori, will be playing an exhibition match against Omar Jasika on Wednesday at the Kooyong Classic. Yeah, fantastic. You know, Kei won a couple of years ago at Kooyong, and, you know, he loves it. He loves the event. He loves the conditions there, and just, you know, he's always really been very, I think, touched as well by the fans and how they've embraced him at Kooyong. So he's very excited to come back this year and just play a little EXO for us.
Yeah, that is fantastic. We were just talking to Alison Lee, the Executive Vice President, CJ, of the ATP, and just highlighting how big Nishikori is over in Japan, upstaged here by Bernard Tomic, but he played a very good game, Tomic, to take a good scalp. But Kei Nishikori, well entrenched in the top 10. I watched him practice here for a couple of days. He works extremely hard. He's huge back in his country. He's just in behind those big four in men's fit tennis, or big four or five, and, yeah, huge draw card to get at Kooyong this week. So if you haven't got a ticket yet, kooyongclassic.com.au, snap up some tickets, because not only have we got Kei Nishikori, we now have the Hopman Cup winner, as Nick Kyrgios will next head to your event, CJ.
Yeah, that's right. What a fantastic result for Nick and for Daria over in Perth yesterday. And we're just so excited to have Nick Kyrgios headlining.
And a little bit of homework for you, CJ, would be find out who the mystery woman that Nick was referring to in one of his interviews at the Hopman Cup.
Leave that with me.
Yep. We'd like an answer.
I'm not asking him that.
We'd like an answer promptly. Can you get onto that
be
for
asking
us?
Asking him that? Yeah, right. No. Anyway, boys, keep going. Next question.
No, that's it. That's all we've got time for.
Okay, well, don't forget also, Kooyong, free after 3 o'clock every day. So come down.
That is a great
food
deal.
From our fantastic food trucks down there. It's going to be a great vibe on Kooyong Common. And maybe catch the last little bit of tennis on centre court as well.
Great stuff. And we'll be there calling the final, SEN, on Friday. Thank you, Charlotte.
No worries.
Nice work, Charlotte James. KooyongClassic.com.au. Snap up some tickets. Sue on the SMS. Dominic team, I love him too, Sue. He reminds me very much
of my favourite
Tommy Haas. Not only physically, but his style of play with that beautiful one-handed backhand. I tell you what, he took it up to Roger yesterday.
He did.
He's a man that is definitely going to be the next in line, along with a few others, to win titles once the big guys do retire. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, BP. Take care.
Nice work.